Amen. Amen. Last week, I really tried to share a little bit of my, and it may not be grand, also, but my qualifications of teaching on this, but also more than that, more, much more important is the credibility of the Word of God, not only to talk of salvation, but to talk of natural things in this world, especially economics and finances. if I find somebody that wants to mentor or teach or coach me in finances that differ from what the Bible says, I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want anything to do with it. I saw one of the predominant families in Rockford, one of the richest families in Rockford. I was talking to one of them and thinking, a little bit of that knowledge, a little bit of that information could rub off on me. That wouldn't hurt any, what I want to know. And then I read in the paper. All right, I didn't read in the paper because I don't read the paper, but I read a news report of how, and this was many years ago, but how this man had a business, and the business wasn't doing very well, and so he went bankrupt, and that business went bankrupt, and all the debts were written off, and I thought to myself, this man has enough money to pay those debts, and for him to go bankrupt put somebody else that didn't have as much as him in a lurch. I never shut off the conversation. We still talked, when opportunity. I don't have contact with him anymore, but when opportunity availed, I still talked to him. I was nice. We were friendly and all this kind of stuff, but I didn't want anything he had to say about finances anymore because the Bible gives us a responsibility to pay our debts, to pay what we owe, especially when you have means to do so. If it contrary to what the Bible says, I don't want anything to do with it. I made a comment last week in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. I'll read it again. For the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not money itself. It's the love of money, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. If you have a problem with money to whereby you can't do anything but think of it, where it is your God, where it can become your God. Even if you're a recovering alcoholic, you don't go to a bar, right? So if you struggle with money, if you're a recovering money addict, some of you are sitting there thinking, I wish I could be a money addict. But if that is something that is a stumbling block before you, and you have to deal with finances, may I encourage you to plug in with somebody else that can help you. If you're recovering in it, may I encourage you not to get so caught up in it. However, we need to understand these things. And financing, I broke it down into two, income and expenses. And then last week, I had to actually look at my paper. Last week, if you remember, Hadassah and Isaiah were home. And last week, I said, I have a third point that I do want to bring out. I don't want to belabor all this so long. I had to really condense this week because I thought, man, church, I think I could go a full year on this. The Bible says a lot about finances. I'm trying to bring a lot of other things. I incorporated a lot of other things besides just finances last week. I'll bring a little bit this week into it also. Income and expenses. And then last week I was trying to think of the third point. Isaiah said he was proud of his sister. He said that while I was trying to remember it, she spoke out savings. They were at home watching it on the live feed. So income, expenses, and savings. How many would love to have a bank account whereby you can draw from it for the rest of your life? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be beautiful? Income. Let me first of all say this. It is a personal responsibility. Now, there is such a thing as disability. There is such a thing as giving. There is such a thing as benevolence. Please don't look past this. Let me see if I can say this. I never know who might watch this, who might listen to this. So let me see if I can say this carefully. But we were exposed to somebody recently that is on disability. And I know Brother James works out too. This is a young man that's on disability, cannot work. And Sarah made the comment, he can't work, and this guy is an extreme bodybuilder. How fairly extreme, you know, he's a young man. He hasn't been like Brother James that was on a job site. He hasn't been like Brother James that laid up in store and had a retirement coming. This man is a young man, disabled, but still doing everything else in life. There comes a point when you should, I hate to say it this way, but people should be able to see the disability in you. Does that make sense? We'll talk a little bit more about this, but there is a healthy person and then there is truly disabled person, right? Can we all admit that we want to help the truly disabled, right? So please hear the spirit in which I am speaking to this end. I am not at all speaking down to the disabled. We will have time and we will have place where we'll speak to that in the finances, okay? But this morning, I want to talk about two things. Your income being your personal responsibility and your income coming through work, all right? And so let's look at this according to Scripture. Brother Gary has a lot of opinions. One of the opinions that I have was given to me by Brother Joe. I suppose it is an opinion, but when you see it so clearly. He was teaching through the book of Deuteronomy, and it says not to oppress God's people, not to oppress your brother, not to oppress your fellow citizen. Brother Joe said it is not oppression when you withhold from somebody else. He said there is a greater oppression when you give to somebody and you do not expect something from them. I'm not talking about a gift, and I'm not talking about fully disabled. I'm talking about an able-bodied person. When you give to somebody and do not expect something back when they could give, you are oppressing them. Brother Joe is teaching through the spot where he talks about if you're planting a field and you go out to harvest that field. He says, you go out, you don't round the corners. So when you're harvesting it, you leave a little bit in the corners. He says, when you glean the grapes, you go through one time, you don't go through a second time. And then if you have poor among you, such as Ruth, remember Ruth and Naomi in the Bible. If you have the poor among you, they can come out to your field and they can glean. They can go to your vineyard and they can pick the rest. And Brother Joe enlightened us, and maybe you've already known this, or maybe you were part of it, or maybe you've heard me talk. Brother Joe enlightened us that what that does is that gives an expectation to even the poor that they do what they can do to gain what they can gain. I think our welfare system would actually benefit if we had more, and I'm not trying to get out of work, I'm not trying to assign, but I think our welfare system would actually gain. I think people on welfare would actually gain some self-respect if you gave them one of them pokers and put them in a ditch and told them to pick up trash for their welfare. Give them, I believe, in the community service. Now, I'll be honest, that's been a pain in the rear end sometimes when you get 20 phone calls. I need community service before the end of the month. And then they're always after you to pad the books and all this kind of stuff. And there's a lot of problems with it. But a well-done community service-based welfare system will actually save society a little bit of money, but more importantly, give self-worth to those on welfare that they don't have right now. That's a little bit of opinion. There is some backing of scripture that was given to me by Brother Joe. So that's what he meant when he says to give without expectation back. And it's not a gift and it's not full. To give without expectation back is oppressive to a people. All right, our Brother Joe. One of these days, I'll quit attributing it to him and I'll just take it all for myself. And maybe people look at me and think, that man is wise. But in that one thing, I want to give it a little bit more credit than Brother Gary said it. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. I'm just going to hit it and read it. If you want to find it, you're more than welcome to. Some people might need to, because personal income is your personal responsibility. It's not my responsibility to make sure you have an income. Now, that being said, we're going to get into my helping or us helping one another at a later time in this, okay? But at the end of it all, at the end of the day, it is your personal responsibility. I'm also not talking to, and I've got three youngins still at home that I'm here for, and I want to supply their needs. You would all think that I'm a jerk if I just kicked them all to the curb and said, go meet for yourself. And I less and less and less so, but I'm also trying to help Gideon and Kayla a little bit, not they self-sufficient, self-sustaining, but I'm trying to be there a little bit from time to time for them. So weaning them off so they can be on their own. And they want to, don't you? And they want to do it themselves because there's a pride in doing it yourself, isn't there? Not prideful, but there's a pride. There's a pride of doing it yourself. But 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now, income is multifaceted. I didn't go into this. I don't have this, but let me just say this. Income is multifaceted. We say income, we start thinking about a monthly check or a weekly check that comes in, right? My income. But how about insurance? That's a part of income. We negotiated with my employer to supply insurance. How about me and the union, I support them so they can negotiate for me. That's part of my dues. And we've negotiated with my employer that I get a tuition assistance so I can go to school. I didn't negotiate with that with the federal government. There's a difference. Am I against somebody getting free education? Absolutely not. Go to FedEx, go to UPS, go to McDonald's, offer you $5,000 a year. You want a two-year degree? You go to Rock Valley. You do a student worker. They are begging for student workers right now. You get free college up for 2 years at Rock Valley if you just work while you learn. So there's a lot of ways you can get your tuition paid for. I'm not for, but that's part of income. That's things coming in, right? So there's a lot of different things with income. So when I say, when the Bible says a man must provide for his own household, there's a lot of things he needs to provide, not just income monetarily. If you can, insurance, you know. If you don't have the insurance, you know, then you better feed your family right so that they don't have so much doctors, you know. There's so many other things. And so I provided my future children with my wife that knew a lot of herbal remedies whereby she can offer them health in that. A man must provide for his, or the Bible says, if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house. So there is the masculine in his own house. He hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I'm not against, thank God, and may Sister Gina be blessed in her old age when she reaches it, for what she's done for those boys and working and laboring. And staying at a job she wasn't thrilled with because she had flexibility to go and to come. And when they got called into the office at school and she had to go and give them that mama look, boys, I'm tired of coming to school when you're in the office. And my grandma, grandma with five kids, Sister Vivian with six kids, supporting them and raising them without their dad to help out. So what an incredible thing. I don't want to look past that. And Sister Gina, you deserve the help that you get with all that you gave for that. And so it is a masculine thing there, but there's expectation also feminine, if need be. Proverbs 31 talks about the virtuous woman. Now, I think us guys, we hold a responsibility. But at the end of the day, we are partners together. How many of you appreciate having a partner together, whether it's through marriage or whether it's just having one another come together in church and be there with one another? So, all right, let's go on. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. If you don't work, if you're not laboring, if you're not contributing to society, you don't even have the audacity to require of that which you have. So, Brother James, again, you laid up in store for that retirement, didn't you? I want you to understand. Brother Daniel didn't go to work last week. All last week, he didn't go and punch a time card all last week. Shame on you, Brother Daniel. You don't get to eat. No, we laid up in store so that we can, right? So I want you to understand the context of this. Now, Brother James is still contributing to society, helping in the food pantry, rescuing the food in the trailer when the truck broke down. Brother Daniel's still contributing to society, giving of his scholarly knowledge on Wednesday night. There's still that giving. There's still that giving. There's still that working, that laboring. So we do that. We lay in store. Man shouldn't work. He shouldn't eat. I struggled with starting the food pantry. I really did because of this one verse. But then we met some, such as Diane Brogan, who was working three jobs at one time to support herself, her husband, and who is disabled, and others in her household. And so then we met some like that. We sat across the table from a man who was needing a job, and we helped him find a job. Then when he found a job and he didn't like it, he says, "I'm going to quit work." I said, "Why? You worked so hard to get that job." He says, "Yeah, I don't like it. I want to go find something else." I said, "Well, why don't you find something else first and then quit where you're at?" Yeah. Y'all, I ain't joking. I ain't joking. He looked at me in surprise and he says, "Can I do that?" He didn't know he can do that. Those are the reasons why I was glad that Sarah and Wanda and Brother Joe convinced me to go ahead and take the leap. And it was also a little bit of, if you don't do this, we're still going to do this. And so I'm like, all right, so we'll do it. And Brother Clef came and remember them early days when you helped me set up the door, the pocket door for the kitchen and different things like that. And so, I got it set up and now it is where it is. And how many of you are grateful? Show me your hands if you're grateful for the food pantry today. Thank God for the food pantry. Amen. Thank God for the food pantry. So I struggled with it though, because I knew there'd be those that come in that were able-bodied to do something. And you don't have to do everything, but do something. Able-bodied to contribute to society. And all they would do is say, "I don't like that and I don't want it." And to which Brother James will come in later on and say, "You ought to be ashamed of yourself." When I heard Brother James first say that, I about crawled under the table. And I thought to myself, he's going to start a fight. And that man's got a way about him that he can put things and say things where people need to step back. Oh, maybe. And yet not cause a fight. And I don't want to give him full rein. I'm kind of scared if we give him full rein what he would do. But he was able to put. All right. So man done work, he shouldn't eat. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground. For out of it was thou taken. For dust thou art, and dust thou art. From the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread." From the sweat of thy... how many of you heard it? Well, I don't like to work here, and I don't like to do this. And I don't like... Now, I'm all for finding a job you like. I hope Gideon still likes welding. I really do. I'm working with my children so hard. Find what you like to do and make that... Find a way to make good money doing it, right? Find what you like to do, and then find a way. Because, man, if you want to paint for a living, but you paint like I do, no. I don't care if you like to do that or if you don't like to do that. Go get a job doing something you don't like, and then you can paint murals on your garage wall. I don't care, but you got to do something whereby you can eat also. But maybe you can find a way to find something you like to do and make that a career. And that is a beautiful and wonderful thing to do. But at the end of the day, your responsibility isn't to find something you like. Your responsibility is to produce an income. "And in the sweat of your face shalt thou eat bread." By the sweat, that doesn't sound like you're going to get the one you want every time, does it? Again, I don't want you to be unhappy for the rest of your life. I don't want my children stuck for 30 years in a place they call the big gray prison. I don't want that. And I want you to know, and I'm going to put this out there, and I'm going to say it over and over and over again, because I'm going to complain about my work a lot through this. I want you to understand this one thing. I am incredibly, extremely grateful for where I work. Two things can be true. You may not like a thing, but you can be grateful for it. You may not like Brussels sprouts, but it may save your life someday. Isaiah says, I don't like green beans. I know, but you got to eat it to be strong and healthy, right? It's a part of a balanced diet. So you may not like it, but it may be good for you. Chrysler's been very Stellantis. Let me see. Chrysler, Daimler-Benz, Cerberus, Chrysler, Fiat, Stellantis has been really good for me for these 27 years. And so we're pressing on and we're keep on going on. And I hate going in there every day. I sit in my car and think to myself, how can I make it work if I lose 20% of my income by not coming in today? And Isabella just peeked her head through at me. And so, but at the end of the day, over and over again, we want to be faithful. By the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread. And so our personal responsibility. And then is this still on our wall, 1 Thessalonians 4:11? Is that still on the wall? I thought that was Hadassah. Lydia, you did that? Oh, awesome. Brother Brad Tybert, he come to work one day. He had quoted it. And Brother Brad Tybert came to work one day, and he was saying that he outlined a message for me, and he preached to me for a while at work. He says, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands and as we have commanded. And so he outlined it for me. He says, that verse says, shut up. He says, study. Shut up. Get to work. No, shut up and mind your own business and get to work. That's how he said it. Shut up, mind your own business and get to work. Typical Brad Tybert fashion. But anyways, your personal responsibility. I hold a grand responsibility to be my brother's keeper. I hold a grand responsibility to help one another. I hold a grand responsibility for these things. I'm not speaking against that. I'm speaking, and that's from me outward. That's from you outward. But for me inward, it's my personal responsibility. I've had many people give into my life, but yet at the same time, it is my responsibility in the end of the day. So I can't be mad at Sarah because she doesn't feed me if I know how to go in the kitchen and get my own food, right? Now, I can appreciate Sarah when she says, Gary, can I bring this to you? And I actually say, yeah, go and bring that to me. I can appreciate her. I can be grateful for it. I can even be in need of it. And that's a good thing. And God's called us to do that one with another. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have given to him that needs. If you notice the theme in this, personal finances, it starts with labor, doesn't it? It starts with personal responsibility. Paul, while he worked the ministry, felt it important to provide for himself rather than to be chargeable to others. Brother Joe presented this. I have nothing wrong with paid pastors. Go for it. Maybe someday. I don't know. There's some pastors that need to be paid. A workman is worthy of his hire. We're going to get into that in a little bit. And I believe that pastors do labor. They do work. I have the best church in the world to pastor. I don't feel like I labor near as much as I should at times. And I appreciate you all. And I'm grateful for you all. But a laborer is worthy of his hire. Paul could have pulled in an income from the churches that he was the apostle over. He didn't do that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among us, neither did we eat any man's bread, for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves examples unto you to follow us. All right. So first of all, income is your personal responsibility. And so, she was delivering you. I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't know that. Oh, man. What in the world are you guys keeping secrets? You know, all I know is now that if Ken calls us to go get some hay, I got somebody to carry it. All right. Our income gaining is our personal responsibility. It is for us to do. And how do we do it? Our first method. Now I got several different ways of where you make you can make income through work. You can make income through gifts. You can make income through societal aids. You can make income through miracles. How about that one? How many of you want the study on making income through miracles? I'm not talking about, what do they call that? It was on Robin Hood, not Algamong. How is, when you turn things into gold. You know it was on the Robin Hood the one time. You can, this concoction, and you can make everything.
Alchemy?
Yeah, alchemy. What did I call it? Al Capone? So how would you like to have that chemistry where you can make whatever you touch turn into gold? Or not whatever you touch, but whatever. Anyways, I'd have some golden shoes. Wouldn't that be kind of weird? All right. So, but nonetheless, God did give people income through miracles. He says, Peter, go down and go fishing. See, I don't like fishing. Brother James showed us a bunch of your fishes, brother. He said, you have to kiss the fish for good luck. I said, if I'm putting my lips on a fish, I've already got bad luck. Might as well not. Peter went down, went fishing, pulled out of the fish some money. So if Jesus tells me go fishing, I'm going fishing. I think there'll be value in that. But nonetheless, all right. So, but our personal responsibility, the greatest way to gain income is through work. It gives you the greatest pride, doesn't it? Sister Gina, wouldn't you love to go back to work? Brother James, wouldn't you love to be strong enough and go back to work? Brother Daniel, you have no intention going back to work. I understand that. And that's why a lot of times, if you notice when I talked about it, I said you guys are still contributing to society. Because there is a difference between punching a time card and contributing to society, and there's a labor. How many of you, now Sarah doesn't pull a bank, or she doesn't pull a weekly check. How many of you would look at Sarah and say she doesn't work? it's kind of like Michael Jr. He's going around the audience talking to him, says, what do you do for a living? And he hits this woman, and he's out in a venue, so they're out. And what do you do as a living? She goes, I'm a stay-at-home mom. Well, you're not at home. Did you just quit or something? You know, because she wasn't there. And so, but man, I tell you what, I want to build Sarah's resume. Wouldn't that be incredible resume? All that she's done. Please understand. I'm not at all saying you don't work or anything like that. Contributing to society. Etc. So, all right. But through work is the best way, the greatest way to provide an income. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 4, thou shalt not muzzle the ox, which when he treadeth out the corn. So you got that ox out there. He's tilling it under, and he sees this big old cob of corn. He stops for a moment. He dips his head down, he picks up that cob, and he just starts chewing at it. Ruminating animal, they are. He just probably lifts his head back up, starts plowing some more, and he's probably just sitting there and chewing on that corn for a good row or two, and then maybe he'll find another one. God says, don't muzzle that ox. He's working. He deserves what he gets. He deserves what he gets. You can have a lot of opinion about what a paid pastor ought to get. My opinion is, I love this, he should get an average of what the household income is in the church that he pastors. I think that's pretty fair, don't you? You shouldn't make him rich, and you shouldn't expect him to be poor. I think an average of what the household, I think that's fair. There are some that believe he gets the tithe is his, and the church gets the offering. I think that would be a little bit grandioso. I think that's a little bit too much, because there could be a lot coming in tithes, and I think that's a little bit too much. And they say, well, the priests got the tithes and the temple got the offering and whatever. That's a study for another day, and I don't know that I've ever truly seen that in its fullest. But that's what's on. So there's a lot of different viewpoints on it. It's an opinion. At the end of the day, it's between the church and that pastor. And as much as I look at some churches and think, man, that guy shouldn't be making that much money, it ain't none of my business. Right? And so it's between the church and the pastor. And so, but that's an opinion. But don't muzzle the ox. that treadeth out the corn. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9, for it is written in the law of Moses that thou shalt not muzzle the ox, or muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18, the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. And so Matthew chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said to his disciples as he sent it out. Now, he did tell his disciples later on to go and take your purse. I'm not carrying a purse. I don't care what they say. But we understand the spirit of which he is saying, don't talk to me about a purse either. I'd start talking about fanny packs, but Brother James is bigger than me. And so I'm not gonna tease fanny packs right now. That'll come another time. But anyways, he says, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet stays, for a workman is worthy of his meat. All right. And I am trying to the best I can, because the whole finance thing isn't the greatest, most exciting message, and there's not a lot of spiritual content to it. I'm trying to keep it right at 30 minutes, and so I got 30 minutes and 54 seconds. So I will finish. I got one more part of this work, income through work, and then we'll go on to income through the various other methods through, oh, come on, gifts. How many of you are grateful for gifts? Sometimes the church gave us a gift. Was it? I believe it was last year. Very generous, not needed, not expected, but appreciated, and we're doing good. And through societal aid, there is a time for you to reach out to society for help, and then through miracles of God, where he just supplies a need wonderfully. All those are parts of your income. All those can be looked towards. All those can be helps to you. But work is the greatest. It gives you the most value, and it contributes to society. So we'll stop there. Next week, we'll start, and then I'm hoping to find a bunch of, since Brother Daniel's taking us through Proverbs, I'm hoping to find a bunch of verses in Proverbs talks about labor, the ant and the sluggard, and all those verses. They're just some really clever verses in Proverbs. And Solomon, who was the king of all, I know kings work, but you think of a king in his plush castle, just, yeah. The king of all, sits there and he's telling us how we ought to work. But nonetheless, there is a lot of wisdom in it and truth even still. And I don't think Solomon was a lazy king either. You couldn't be lazy with that many wives. But nonetheless, what do you have? Nearly 1,000 by the time the wives and concubines, and that's just ridiculous. But nonetheless, I hope to do that. But next week we'll get started right off the bat of what your boss pays other employees is none of your business. And what he pays you is just between you and him. And whether you work more, you shouldn't expect more money. That's your integrity. And if you work less, that's on you. Shame on you. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. We might even throw in a little bit of thought about minimum wage and stuff like that. And so I'm just trying to bait you for next week. Ooh,